This is Brad.
And Pete.
And I'm Giff. We host Pop Culture Yearbook, and we want to unlock your memories.
Do you love pop culture? Are you nostalgic like us?
Do you want to learn more about your favorite movies, TV shows, and music? Maybe you're just nostalgic to relive a movie or rediscover an album.
We love the 80s and 90s, but with Pop Culture Yearbook, we cover more current topics too. There's something for everyone.
Whether you're a diehard pop culture fan or just someone who's curious about the past, Pop Culture Yearbook is the podcast for you.
So subscribe today on your favorite podcast platform and join us on a journey through our history of pop culture.
Grab your bats and gloves as we head outside to get into the biggest pickle any of us will ever be in. From black eyes and large dogs to old blind wise men and maybe getting tossed out of a public pool, it's going to be one heck of a summer. So eat some s'mores, throw in a chaw, and try not to puke everywhere as we hit the diamond on this all new episode. Everybody, welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. On this podcast, we take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing some personal experiences and hopefully stir some rad memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and we promise you'll have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a guy who loves bobbing for apples and toilets. It's my good friend Rob.
I got nothing.
That means he doesn't.
Yeah. I have nothing. And here we go. You know, sometimes on the show we are looking at our data. We want to make sure that the ratings that we've got listeners, and sometimes we get a little worried that maybe the numbers aren't where we want them. Oh, but okay. I just have a message that will put you at ease.
Okay.
Here we go. So, Dave, people will come, Dave. They'll tune to this podcast for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll download it to their phone, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll listen in their cars, on their treadmills, or during their lunch break, as innocent as children longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you listen, we'll say. It's only an hour of your time. They'll spend the time without even thinking about it. For it is time they have and peace they lack. And they'll put on their headphones and sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find themselves singing along to songs they sang to when they were children, danced to, made out. And they'll listen, and it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces. People will come, Dave.
People will come.
The one constant through all the years, Dave, has been nostalgia. Mm-hmm. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But nostalgia has marked the time. This podcast, it's part of our past, Dave. It reminds us of all that once was good and could be again. Oh, people will come, Dave. People will most definitely come.
Well, I'm glad you came and you're here today, right? He had to put his hand up. He couldn't help it. So, but we won't keep you too long, Rob. Huh? We won't keep Rob too long, because if he's out too long, the wife will start thinking he's got a girlfriend.
That's right.
So that's right. So, well, great opening. Of course, since this is a movie episode, mm-hmm. we're not alone. We have brought our third member of the team. Mm-hmm. We call ourselves a team, of course. Sitting in the studio with us, you know him, you kind of like him. It's the Recall Movie Hound. Welcome back to the show, Kurt.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me once again. You keep bringing me back. I don't know why.
Your wife literally said, get him out of the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yep.
Says, that's all we've got.
At least once.
I wish we had a really good.
At least once, I believe that's the same reason why you guys are here as well.
That's correct. Yeah. She said at least once a month. I need a break.
We're not. That's it. So we're not being missed right now.
No, we're not.
No.
So They don't even, it's not like they looked across the couch.
They're not looking for us.
No. No. We could spend the rest of the day in the studio and they'd just be like, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, where if you, oh, you were gone?
You were gone. Where were you?
I don't know.
So, well, until they need chores done.
That's right. Until the lawn is too long.
The chores will show up. Yeah. So, well, this isn't a chore, Rob. It's your pleasure. So why don't you tell us what we're covering on this episode?
So today we are looking at the 30th. We're talking about the 30th anniversary of The Sandlot.
Ooh, The Sandlot. The
great baseball classic.
You use the word great.
I did.
Wow. You're very selective with that word.
Fantastic.
Your descriptive words are always.
I know. I'm a walking thesaurus.
Okay. All right, that works.
I hear people use
the. He uses people words. Use.
I hear yes. People use big words like great, and I'm like, I should say that.
It's a huge word. Did I use it correctly?
I guess.
I think so.
I don't know. What am I supposed to be, a teacher?
No, I'm an administrator.
Administrator. No, I said, am I supposed to be a teacher? I don't know if you used it correctly.
That's why I used it correctly. I don't teach anything, so. Sure. Well, this is a great movie. This is one of my favorite movies. So we'll just start with, what's your first memory of this movie? And do you remember it fondly? And if so, why? And do you still like it today?
Gosh, I don't, to be honest, I don't know if I remember watching it because it came out in 93. And I don't know that if I watched it when it was new.
Okay.
I think I might've caught it later. I don't know. I don't remember how I.
Probably a video.
Sure.
Probably rented it.
It's always just been.
It's always been.
I was going to say, I don't remember like it being a thing to go watch it. It was just one of those things. Oh, I just started watching it on probably TV.
Yeah.
Oh, TBS maybe?
Probably, yeah. It was good summertime. TBS. Yeah, good summertime movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's good for TBS. They don't have to edit anything out for the most part.
I did read in some of my notes that depending on the network, some things were cut out. So the word shit was cut out in some of them. And the dog's testicles, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes you got to neuter them.
Sometimes you got to chop them. There's other things you can do if you've seen Van Wilder. Why did you
just make a kissy noise to the dog balls?
you kiss them?
I think it's inappropriate. I was very confused. First of all, it's inappropriate to put balls and kissing noises together. We want to avoid that. But you
did
it
anyways.
I didn't mean to do that.
Thank you. He hit the button. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a deep dive into David wanting to kiss testicles of a dog.
The timeout means that conversation's over. So we'll start. Hey, everybody, let's start over. I love this movie. Wow. I did not see it in the theater. I don't think anybody did. In fact, probably through some of your research, you'll figure that part out really easy. But it has become, much like other movies, videotapes made it kind of an underground hit, and it's become probably a family classic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my kids watch it, and they love it, and I've showed it to them, and all of those things. And I wasn't making kissing noises. The way I put my mouth together.
He's trying to creep.
I'm totally off.
He's trying to backtrack now.
I'm off on it now. You've got me completely confused. Can't look at my notes. I can't do anything. So, but anyway, so what are your memories then of when you did watch this movie? Either of you can take that. Go ahead. Ridiculous. Let's make a concerted effort to do the show.
Oh, right. No. There we go. All right. He's trying to bring it back. It's all fun and games until people have to laugh at David.
Okay.
Right.
We can laugh at Robin Kurt all we want.
They're going to laugh plenty.
You make one offhanded testicle joke and it all goes downhill. Right.
It's funny you're saying one when you know that's not true.
There's way more coming.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Coming, exactly.
No, okay. So the thing about this movie, I think for me, is that although it takes place in the 50s, you know,
1962.
62, sorry. So it takes place in 62. I relate a little bit to our experience growing up on our little block and out there hitting
tennis balls.
We hit everything. We hit tennis balls.
No one can hit tennis balls further than Rob and I.
We even tried it one time. We did wiffle balls and then we had knocked the crap out of them.
Yeah, we broke them.
So then we would wrap them in duct tape.
But then they'd curve.
And then they had, weird.
And then we couldn't hit them because we were both curving them too much. In fact, I would curve them so much, Rob would throw the bat down and leave. Well, if I can't hit it, what are we doing out here?
I was going to say, like you said, because it's set in the 62, it's still very relatable to our childhood. Yeah. Not so much now to children's childhood,
I don't remember.
To ours, I remember going to the, like, just the school and playing baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the little Timmons, the little brother, because I would go with my brother. His friends would be out there, a couple other kids, and the big kids would hit it really far. I would never hit it.
Yeah.
It's probably why I never played baseball.
A couple times, we went down to the high school's football field, and we got actual baseballs. And there's a big grandstands for the home. It's covered and all these stands. And we would be on the other side of the football field, and we'd hit towards it. So, like, when it went into the bleachers, like, you were hitting a home run, and you'd hear it banging around. Yeah.
And there was a little parking lot there next to, was it Serena's house?
Yep, right next to hers.
And we'd play football there and baseball there.
We'd take turns, see if we could hit it over that building.
Yeah,
it's good.
Which isn't very far now.
No. You know, if I go back and look at it, I'm like, well, of course we hit it over that building.
In the church, we played up at the church.
And that was our best spot.
So running around, you know, I think part of it too was the draw for me is the running around this neighborhood and all the kids that you knew. And you know, I think that there's something that I you know, you make the comment, you've become the get off my lawn guy, you know?
I try not to be.
And I don't want to be that either, but I do feel like our generation was the last... you know, generation of get home before the lights come on kind of thing. Like, we still had that freedom to ride our bikes and run around. And my kids don't know that. And part is where we live, we're kind of in the country. So we're out. Yeah. They don't live in a community. But also, I don't know that we'd want them to, or, you know, there's some fear.
I was going to say, our kids now, we have the app so we can track them every minute of every day. And my wife is just looking at the phone. Oh, they're moving. They're going, they're going 72 miles an hour. I'm going to text them to slow down.
Yes. We were talking about that. I was like, think of all the things we did running around. Parents had no idea where we're at.
No idea.
You know, I mean, I'm fearful now and I can see him on the app. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, okay, what's he doing? And I know where he's at. I can see him. You know, our parents had no idea. They just had to hope we came home.
And they had no fear.
Well, yeah.
Where are they at? I don't know.
Well, and we had, and they did. And if something were to happen to us, they wouldn't know where to go.
Nope.
Where to find us until the cops brought us home or whatever. You know,
in the summer, our parents all worked.
Yeah.
And you and I were outside.
All day.
If you would have gone to either of our parents' work and said, hey, where's Rob or where's Dave? Mm-hmm. They couldn't answer that question.
I don't know.
Maybe near our houses?
Yeah.
We'd be four blocks down at the elementary school playing basketball or at the high school playing baseball, or we just go.
Yeah.
No. But we came home.
So that whole life, I think, is something that this movie.
And they have that freedom. The parents are background in this. They're just kind of running around and doing their own thing. And every day is kind of the same day, but it's a fun day, right?
So. Well, and the different personalities of the different characters. And we all grew up with different guys and different friends that were, you know, and they all had their different personalities. And so, it totally relates to growing up.
Kurt grew up with some personalities.
I had a few myself.
That's right. Which one are we accessing on a daily basis?
I don't know.
I just think, I'm with you. The feeling I get when I watch this movie is kind of that throwback type thing. And you don't get that the same anymore. Mm-hmm. The kids don't do like what they're doing where you get up at 7 a.m. to play baseball all day and, you know, those kinds of things. So, and the whole community pool thing and all these other things where going to the fair at night.
Mm-hmm.
Although we used to ride those rides all the time. And now I would not let my kids get on those
rides. Yeah.
No. Those death wheels. But I was like, here's my ticket.
Here's my ticket.
Oh, this thing, the scrambler thing just goes 1,000 miles an hour. And you see the guy running it? He's fine. We're good.
Fine. Yeah. He had a tooth. We're good.
Chet, we're fine. Chet might be drinking out of that paper bag thing, but he's operating it.
Small hands, smells like
cabbage. Those guys were great. You roll up and they'd be like, oh, you're not tall enough. And you're like, are you sure? I don't care. Get on.
Yeah. Hold on. Sure?
Measure me again. Let me go on my toes. Again.
Yeah, let me raise up a little bit.
Hey, you'll do. Get on.
Get on.
Move over.
As long as you got a ticket, it's all good. All right. Well, grab the bottle and let's start lotioning and oiling. Oiling and lotioning as we get our bodies greased up to head back to the Sandlot. Let me hear it, Harry.
R1, R2, R3. Hey, we are to the
Bye. Cubs win. It's like you're back in Wrigley Field, Rob.
On WGN.
You know, there is no way that dude wasn't completely plastered by the seventh inning. Because I used to remember he'd do like the first two innings on WGN. Then nice he's like, I'm going to the radio. And then he'd come back and be slurring his words. So I think he's just over there, you know, down in the Budweiser's. Yeah. He comes back.
Everybody.
Cubs win. It's only the third inning.
I love it. All the real people know Harry Carey growing up. So that's fine. WGN.
Yeah, WGN.
Cubs games on all the time.
It was the Cubs and the Braves.
Harry Carey and Steve Stone was usually his counterparts. Yeah.
Always watching the Cubs and the Braves.
CBS, WGN. Yep. So, well, real quick, fans, before we dive into these categories, if you want to ensure to never miss an episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall, if you haven't already done so, make sure you hit that subscribe button, share it with a friend, helps our show grow. That way, Kurt, Rob, and I can get into everyone's ears. That's our goal, to get into all the ears. Right? Mm. Kurt, that sounds all right?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Into everybody's ears.
Penetrate.
Penetrate the
ear hole. Penetrate the
drums. Right in the ear hole.
I want to penetrate the drums.
Got a hole, got to penetrate.
Con style. Yeah? Okay.
Con style.
No?
No.
I thought it was Taylor Rex.
Obscure.
Obscure. I lost it. That was great.
Oh, man. Oh, he loses it. That's great.
I can't talk.
It's all right. You're only on a podcast.
Talking is like 96% of what we're doing.
That's right.
Well, before we cover the movie, we like to go over all the important information think is important information. Actually, Rob and I don't know if it's important information because we've left it in the hound's hands.
That's too bad.
So we're going to toss a bone over to him.
Oh.
Take it away, Kurt.
All righty. So the Sandlot.
He's not good with his
buttons. He's not good? No. Nope. Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Usually hound is a Q, but that's okay.
Perfectly set up. Good job. Perfectly. All right. So the Sandlot was released April 7th, 1993. It had a budget of $7 million and made $34.3 million at the box office. But like David said a little bit earlier, really made its money from the VHS and DVD sales, made $76 million from that. So this movie has a starting lineup of child actors. So at first base was Victor D'Amata as Timmy Timmons. Oops. Second base was Grant Gelt as Bertram Grover Weeks. Shortstop was Marty York as Alan Yaya McLennan. Third base was Shane Obenzinski. That's a good one to say.
Yeah.
As Tommy Repeat Timmons. Left field was Tom Geary as Scott Smalls. Center field, Mike Vitar as Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Mm. Right field, Chauncey Leopardi as Michael Squints Palladoros. And at catcher was Patrick Renna as Hamilton Ham Porter. Pitcher was Brandon Adams as Kenny DeNunez. And this movie also had some adults in it too, like Karen Allen, Dennis Leary, and of course, James Earl Jones.
That's right.
Darth Vader.
That's right.
Yep. Himself. You know, I didn't know Squints was the right fielder. Every time he would catch the ball, he was more towards the infield. So I just assumed he was an infielder.
I think he was always more shaded towards center because
you never saw Benny actually play center field.
That's right.
But that was his position.
That was his official position.
The Jet.
Wow. So let's see here. This movie had a Rotten Tomato score of 64% and an audience score of 89.
Okay.
So it's a crowd pleaser. So, Rob, now that we know some of the facts behind this movie, tell us, what is this movie about?
I'm surprised the Rotten Tomato is at 64%, but I thought critics would have liked it a little better than that.
Interesting. It was a little...
But it's a fan favorite, so...
Yeah, I could see that, because I think, I could see the critics not liking it. The fans love it.
It was a slow build until it became the fan favorite.
I don't like the critics.
Yeah,
that's all right. Critics don't like you.
There you go.
I mean, rate 5 stars, please, everybody.
Yes, 5 stars.
All right, it's the summer of 1962, and Scotty Smalls, the shy new kid in town, wants to join the rowdy pickup baseball team that plays every day in the neighborhood Sandlot. But he doesn't know how to catch a baseball, and his stepfather Bill is too busy to teach him. He tries out for the team anyway, and though he isn't very good, it turns out he's lucky. There happens to be only 8 of them, and 9 makes a team. The summer passes blissfully as Scotty learns to play ball, but the skies darken, however, when Benny literally knocks the stuffing out of the team's only baseball, a sign of impending doom, or worse, bad luck. Wanting to set things right, Scotty returns home and borrows Bill's ball, which he promptly uses to hit his first home run, knocking it clear out of the sandlot into mean old Mr. Myrtle's junkyard, which is home to his legendary guard dog, the Beast. Scotty admits that he took the ball without asking, and he naively explains that Bill wants will want it back since it had a woman's name written on it. Some lady named Baby Ruth. Horror-stricken, and the team mobilizes to fetch it from the beast's clutches, building a series of mechanical ball-retrieving machines, which get progressively more complicated and preposterous as the beast's size grows in their imagination. Adventures ensue as Benny, Ham, Squints, Repeat, and the rest of the Sandlot kids find out that heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
Perfect. So good. That's good. Yeah. Did you write that yourself?
No. He's a wordsmith. He's a walking thesaurus.
He is a wordsmith.
Yeah. I stole that from several places.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. Wow. I give no credit.
I'll give you credit anyway. No. You don't have to take it, but it's there.
Well, I guess I compiled it from several sources.
Good job. So,
yeah, there you go.
You're a good compiler.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if that's a thing.
It's a thing.
Compiling is a thing.
It's called LeBron James.
There it is.
Nice. It's called How I Got Through School.
Perfect. Well, this movie opens up. Our lead character, Smalls, has moved to a new neighborhood, it seems, with his mom and his stepfather. We talked about Bill. Is that his name, right?
Yep, Bill.
It was Bill. Bill's a busy guy, but it seems like Smalls is kind of an intellectual type.
Yes.
Seems to be building with his erector sets and a lot of those. And mom wants him outside doing what in 1962 would be considered boy things, I guess, right? Go play with friends.
Get in some trouble, but not
some
too
trouble,
much.
Get your knees dirty.
Yeah.
And so he basically goes outside and runs right into these guys at the Sandlot, right?
Yeah.
And I love the awkwardness of him just wandering out onto the
standing out there pounding his mitt.
Yeah. With that
plastic
weird
mitt. Yeah, it was a plastic
and
mitt.
And that horrific hat.
It's a great hat.
With the bill that goes 40 feet too far.
I don't even understand the purpose of that hat at all.
Hey, so when you're fishing, you want the whole face
fishing hat. Yeah, to cover everything. And then he's got the button-up shirt all the way to the top and those little khaki shorts. So that's so it opens great.
It reminds me a little bit, and we've probably told this story before, but the story that Dave tells is when him and I met for the first time, like in front of our house. We're playing baseball out in front of our house, and Dave comes down the street, and he wants to join the game.
Yep.
And the way Dave tells the story is that he says, hey, can I join you? And my response was, I don't know. Can you?
I mean, that's what you said.
So at that time, I was still wearing the tube socks up to the knees with the red stripes around the top, you know, and Dave had his socks down. He was wearing
they rolled?
I don't know if they were rolled, but he might have had at that time, like a no show style. Like he was ahead of the, you know. Yeah. So, here I am.
He's real fashion forward kind of guy.
He was the athletic one, and I was the, you know. But then we had friends down the street that were wearing their hat, didn't fold the bill.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, dude, come on.
I don't fold my bill as much as I used to.
I know, that's a thing, and I
hate used to be a crap, but I like to be able to see now. And I like to be able to wear sun G's with my hats. And if you do too much of the bill, they don't fit underneath.
Right? See, I have gone to, you can't bend the bill as much just because I now I'm old and the have glasses. To wear glasses.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
But you still go with the extreme.
I do. I'd rather be blind.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually when I wear the hat, I take the glasses off. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you buy the hat that has the cutouts.
No.
You seen those?
No.
Yeah, they're
that's
really
not good.
That sounds terrible.
But the flat bill things.
They make them.
The flat bill hat is a thing now. When we were kids, the flat bill thing was not in.
Nope.
If you wore a hat and you didn't have it curved, people are like, what are you doing?
They've never worn a hat before.
Yeah, that's exactly,
what they thought, right? So, so Smalls is out there. Obviously, he assimilates and then through the wacky adventures of what goes through the summer. Mm-hmm. But before we get into our categories, just talk about a few of the things I found about this movie. For the original title was The Boys of Summer.
Okay.
And the kids were supposed to be younger. The guy who wrote it, the director, was kind of based on a true story. excuse me. I'm having some, I think, we had
issues.
We had Taco Bell for lunch. And it's not processing as well as I had hoped. It's making me upset and causing some problems with my speaking voice. I can't seem to get it clear. So, but it was The Boys of Summer, and the kids were supposed to be like 9 or 10 years old. But when they started auditioning all the kids, they were 12, 13, and it just fit better. It made more sense. So they stayed with those folks. It was filmed in 42 days. So very fast.
I have that. Yeah.
For some reason, they just wanted to knock it out and get it done.
I found that it was shot in Utah. They filmed it in Utah.
Supposed to be like LA. Days.
Yeah. Yep. No, apparently no child labor laws, because if they shot it that fast, they were working those kids cruising a little longer than what they were supposed to.
It's 90-something, 92, 93. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Well, and I read that at different times throughout the movie, sometimes it's really hot.
Oh, yeah.
It was super hot.
It was super hot, and then it was super cold.
And in the pool scene, they're super cold, and you can actually see Squints, he's shaking.
That's the best part.
And that's
part.
Like legit.
When he chatters his teeth, that's him really being cold. They said the pool I read was anywhere from 54 to 56 degrees.
Really cold. So. In my notes, I found one of the people said, this is one of the most popular movies in front of Rookie of the Year. I don't feel like that's even Rookie of the Year.
Have you seen Rookie of the Year?
It's been a long time.
Rowan Gruder. Rowan Gruder.
First of all, the guy gets his name wrong every time. This isn't a Rookie of the Year podcast, but the fantastic nature of that premise, kid breaks his arm and it heals and now he can throw 100 miles an hour.
Great. No.
Gary Busey's a aging veteran pitcher.
There's nothing wrong when you
don't
want
to get down
Busey.
This rabbit hole because I'll get too excited. But this is, you know. fun fact about that
buttered sausage.
Just fun fact about that movie, and then we'll come back to the Sandlot. Fun fact: the mom in that movie.
In which one?
In the Rookie of the Year. Her actual son now.
Oh, I read that.
He is in AAA for the Cubs.
I did read that.
So she was mom of the Cubs kid, and now her actual son is in AAA.
And his specialty pitch? The floater.
He is a center fielder. He doesn't
my mistake.
Pitch.
Sorry.
My mistake.
He's a hitter and an outfielder.
What does he say when he when the doctor gets hit? He goes, son of a what does he say?
I forget.
Yeah, it's a silly phrase.
Not a Rookie of the Year podcast, but that's fine.
But they're released the same year though.
Oh, they were.
I think that's important.
I bet you Rookie of the Year did better just because of like advertising.
And it had like real Jerry baseball Busey's teams in it, you know. So
and Daniel Stern was in it.
That's right.
As he was.
Yeah. I like during the making of this movie how the kids, all the boys snuck out to watch Basic Instinct.
I know. I saw that. That's great.
That's funny.
How do you think they got in?
Yeah.
They must have known someone at the theater.
Yeah.
So
they're like, we're with the movie. All right. Go in.
I got the kid that played Yaya. His name is Marty York. He was not the actor cast for the role. The original actor got sick like a day before filming. So York had interview or audition. They called him back in, and then he was good, so they just replaced him.
Mm-hmm.
Just kept him.
On the topic of actors or people that were going to – Robin Williams was going to voice the adult Scotty Smalls, who's the narrator of the movie.
Nice.
So that must have fallen through. I do not know how.
Maybe he was doing Aladdin.
Yeah, whatever.
Never met a friend like
wow.
I don't think I ever have met a friend like you. No, I have not. That is true.
All right.
I like another little behind the scene note I had.
I've got a popsicle for you, kid. Come on in.
Is that your James Earl Jones?
No, I don't know.
I don't know where that went, but that got creepy real quick. Poor Smalls.
The movie timeline takes place over the course of 10 days.
Oh.
A day one, Small moves to town. Day two, he meets Benny and the rest of the gang. Day three, Smalls learns about the monster behind the fence. Day four is the pool scene. Day five, 4th of July.
Yep.
Day six, they play the Tigers.
There you go.
And then they get sick from the tobacco. Day seven, Babe Ruth. Day eight, trying to get the baseball back. Day nine, Benny saves the day. And day 10, it's the ending there where he's reading all the...
Well, you've summed it up. Gotcha. Time to be done.
Right, let's go.
Close it down. And end scene. So you said something about where they, the chewing tobacco.
Yes.
I read it was a mixture of black licorice and bacon bits.
And they still got sick because they had to ride the ride for so many times. And
it
have
said
that.
The vomit in the carnival scene was a mixture of split pea soup, baked beans, oatmeal, and water.
Gross.
It's quite a concoction.
That sounds good.
Somebody's job offset was to stir all that together and then just swipe it out there.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. No.
I like a little note I had. The special effects supervisor that was in charge of the dog and everything, he was the guy that played Pizza the Hut in Spaceballs.
Ooh. I like Pizza the Hut.
Well, that's awesome.
I like Spaceballs.
You like all balls.
We start
perfect time for the timeout, and he just can't find it. Jiminy Christmas.
Oh.
Timeout! Perfect.
He likes all balls. Besides space balls, I do like sweaty balls, so that works, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're kissing testicles. You like bottom. There's all kinds of.
There's a lot. This is the ball episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Baseball.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of balls.
You got to work. That's right. You got to wear cups. There's a lot of things going on. Oh, right. So.
Crying out loud.
I got the actor. I like this. Is funny. The actor who played Squints. They gave him a briefing and a stern warning, that when doing the CPR scene, to keep his tongue in his mouth.
Yeah. I read that.
Actress said that he better keep his tongue in his mouth. So the director had to pull him aside because I guess he was a little bit of a horn dog, like in the movie, kind of in real life on the set. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, Wendy Peppercorn is, I'd probably get my tongue out too. Right?
So. Exactly.
Exactly. Shwing.
Shwing. Yeah, I don't have that button set up. No.
Shwing. Oh, man. So I saw that a man sued the director, stating the character of Squints was based on him, and it caused him embarrassment and humiliation. Mm-hmm. But it was dismissed because said there was not enough merit for the suit go forward.
I like how he came in and said, it's not me because I've got contact lenses and I cut my hair or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't understand how it gives him embarrassment. Squints is like an all-time thing. People loved Squints in that movie and he ends up with the girl and everything. I don't see the embarrassment part of it.
I was going to say, ends up owning a pharmacy. He's got 9 kids, beautiful wife. Jeez.
He's almost one of the coolest kids in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Like his riz is off the charts, Rob.
His riz is off the charts.
The charts.
I don't know what that means.
All right, but I've explained this to you before. I got to stop explaining these things. You're not that old, so that's fine. Did you see
on fleek?
Some of the
on fleek.
You're way behind.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that the beast, the dog?
Yeah.
And some of the scenes, it's just two guys in a dog suit, so it's not it's not actually a dog.
Yeah. They don't hide the fact that it's fake, right? I mean, were you shocked at that?
Well, there's real dog shots, but I think the throwbacks when he's telling the story and it's really, really big. Yeah. I think, it's a little obvious.
Or like when I was making sure that you knew that.
That big old paw comes out and it's like this wide or something like that. Yeah, that's probably true.
I have here that the drugstore, Vincent Drugstore, that's filmed in the movie, it was featured in Halloween 4 and Halloween 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Return of Michael Myers and The Revenge of Michael Myers.
No. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
That's a fun fact, right?
That is a fun fact.
Do you know there's 2 sequels to this movie?
I don't want to watch
that. I have not seen either of them. I wrote that down. So part 2 involves a new group of kids led by Smalls' little brother. Same premise of the movie, but just with Smalls' little brother. Part 3 is the one that intrigues me. I might have to go watch
with
this.
With Mr. Luke Perry. Yeah,
so this involves time travel. So Luke Perry is a Major League Baseball player. Luke Perry, for our fans at home, should know who he is, but Dylan from 90210. As an MLB player, he gets hit in the head with a ball.
Okay.
And then he wakes up back in the sandlot where he grew up playing, and he's a kid again.
Have you seen this?
No.
No, I just read about it.
You just read about it. There's a thing called the Google machine, and we were able to find information.
Google machine.
That's correct.
You almost had me there. I thought for a minute, I was like...
Now that I know the Luke Perry part and the time travel and all that, I don't know. Sandlot 3 is starting to sound like something I might need to check out.
No, I refuse.
Let's see where it's streaming. We'll pick it up.
Well, in in one of my notes, it's compared. Roger Ebert compared it to a summer version of A Christmas Story.
Oh,
which I think is an adequate.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I feel the same way about the most recent sequel to A Christmas Story as I would feel about a sequel to The Sandlot. Just leave it shouldn't alone.
Well, this had 2 sequels, so it was popular enough.
Yeah.
It did that. You know, the the guy playing the Benny the Jet is a Dodger, the actual this is the kid's Benny the Jet's actual older brother.
Oh, I did read that they were in real life brothers. So,
real life brothers.
Yep. I did read
that. Made life really easy, huh?
Yeah. I did
read that. Kurt, you're gonna like this. You probably have it.
I better.
The kid who played De Nunez, the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And Benny the Jet, also hockey teammates.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks 2.
Yep.
When right they there. Beat who, Rob?
I don't know.
The evil Icelandic team.
That's right.
Come on, Rob. Mighty Ducks 2.
I knew that.
Should have got a ding, ding, dinger. No, should have got a ding,
ding. Right? No dinger.
So anyway, they beat the Icelandic team. So they're baseball teammates, Benny the Jet and De Nunez. And they're also hockey. These are 2 sterling athletes.
That's right.
I had read that to make the relationship between Benny and Smalls feel special. Authentic.
Yes.
That they had those two get together prior to shooting. And they spent, I don't know, it was like 30 days or something just hanging out. And so
that's a lot.
And so when they got onto the set, the other kids really thought that they were
BFFs.
They had been best friends forever. So, and they're still friends to this day. So,
you couldn't let BFFs go. You had to actually spell it out.
I'm not saying BFFs. BFFs,
friends forever. Always will be friends.
And he's good.
He is good.
He is good.
Yeah.
You never get enough credit for how creative and good you are.
I don't get paid either.
Well, I know, but you haven't earned paycheck yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're getting there. You know,
I'm still on my unpaid internship.
This is your unpaid internship.
How does one earn? I'm just curious.
How does one earn?
Because I too would like to earn something.
You have to do at least 20 shows that gain at least 1,500 followings before you can start being paid.
Damn. So. Well, everybody, please subscribe and watch those videos.
Watch those videos immediately. So, all right. Well, you got any more fun facts? I know you two like to do the research, particularly this guy over here. So,
I don't.
What?
I don't.
Wait for it.
Everybody, wait. Hold on.
Shut up.
Hold on.
That means he just needs to turn the page over.
That's right.
What's on the back?
You guys eat your mama's toe jam.
Do you know where they? You know the Sandlot they used was actually Babe Ruth played there back when he was an orphan. I just like the way it ties together and makes that.
That's
story.
Not true.
It tells a story.
Jerks. Well, you talked about how Squints was from like a real life character.
So here he goes, and nobody says anything.
I got one more. Wendy was also based on a girl that the. Director remembered. Her name was Bunny.
Ooh,
she was his own personal bunny.
Bunny.
Oh, wow.
She, you know, when your name's Bunny, you're going to like
you got
to
be the last
Ivy League school. You're going to be in a sorority, like in Animal House. It's Bunny because one of those girls' names was Bunny. I think the one Jim Belushi's chasing around after Animal House. Rob, any chance?
It's been a while. Okay. It's been a long time.
Any chance you saw that?
I just know I've been to the place where it was filmed. I saw house.
Yeah.
U of O. So,
anyway. U of O. Well, Kurt hasn't.
I have never been there.
Yeah. We've been there.
So, been to the Goonies house, though.
Yeah. I have not been to the Goonies house.
I've been by it.
When we do the Goonies episode, we should go sit in the front yard.
Pictures taken.
Right. Well, we should do it. We could go remote.
That's what I'm saying.
Just set up right.
Right in their front yard. I'm sure they'll be fine with it. They did have new owners that are welcoming people back to the house.
If you did the truffle shuffle.
If we got Rob to do the truffle shuffle.
Why me? I think we all three need to do the truffle shuffle because we all have a little bit on the middle.
I agree. I agree, but I think his is the most.
What are you saying?
Because of your presence, I think it would come across better. You're nice. You're taller and you've got this
aura
about you. No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Just big boned.
Husky.
Husky. Yes. That's always the best.
You know, I got you in the husky.
What
sizes.
Size are those jeans? Husky.
I have to go to the
Sears Roebuck Husky.
The big
jeans.
And tall section.
That's right. You are big and tall.
Yeah. I have to.
I remember.
I can't do the 2X. If I do the 2X, they shrink.
We'd go to the mall and he'd see a pair of shoes at Foot Locker or something he liked and he would take them to the thing.
Special order.
What do you wear? 14, 15?
14.
Yeah. And you'd always ask, and they would laugh. They would literally laugh at it. They'd laugh. No. And they'd be like, we can order it. It'll be here in like 30 days.
No.
I can't do that.
He didn't want to wait. No. But you had to do it for basketball. He had to order his basketball shoes. It's like special.
At the David Robinson.
Payless probably had those sizes.
So.
Payless.
Well, if you don't have anything else, we've covered a little bit about the movie. So you know what time it is. Hit it, Rob. Seem like we've reached that stage, you know, where sitcoms where they don't play the whole song anymore. You just get the quick version.
Just get the
of
quick
it.
Intro now.
Yep. That's what we don't have time for the whole song.
There's the whole
there thing. There it is.
We're that 80s show where they just shorten everything get into the show. I don't have time for this.
First
anymore.
Season's over. You only get the short version.
You get the short version. Yeah.
Kip and the guys in the booth are.
So, yeah. They're not.
Well,
they're not
Kip is also
an
unpaid intern. So
I think he's hungover too.
Kip gets sandwiches. So
he gets to buy my own sandwich
today.
That's
true.
Come on.
He does a good job, though. We keep him around.
You know, Kip's around every episode.
You know, I said we went to Taco Bell. You didn't need a sandwich today.
I had a sandwich.
You had Taco Bell.
There was breading like on the outside of meat.
It is a true 80s and 90s nostalgia when our lunch is at Taco Bell. That's a true throwback right there. So, all right. Well, we're in our first category. favorite quote slash, I've made a slash.
What?
Because I've noticed our quotes tend to get big and quotes are usually a confined thing.
Oh, okay.
So I've said favorite quote slash dialogue. So if you have a little chunk, you can go ahead and spit that out. So okay. I'm going to go first. Ooh. I never go first.
He wants on the to spit it out.
That's not true.
Category. On the first category, I never go. I always throw it to one of you two.
Oh.
All right. So I'm going to go first.
Oh, look at you.
And I don't care about your frown.
All of a sudden, he's now. First of all, look how selfless he is.
Who's in charge?
All of a sudden.
Who's in charge here?
You are. That's what I mean.
He's like, in charge.
All right. I feel your disdain for this situation. So, Rob.
I'm the creative foundation.
I feel your disdain. You can take it away.
No, I don't want it.
All right.
I don't want it now.
Well, mine's from Michael Squints, Pallid. Doris?
You're going to take my quote.
I'm going to take it. So it's at the pool.
Dang it.
Got it. I love taking it. I like the...
You're an ass.
So here it is. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's a little long. I knew Rob might pick it because he likes the long ones too. So it says, Michael Squints Paladoris walked a little taller that day and we had to tip our hats to him. He was lucky she hadn't beaten the crap out of him. We wouldn't have blamed her. What he'd done was sneaky, rotten, and low, and cool. Not another among us, not even in a million years for $1 million, would have had the guts to put the move on the lifeguard. He did. He had kissed a woman. He had kissed her long and good. We got banned from the pool forever that day, but every time we walked by after that, the lifeguard looked down from a tower right over its Squints and smiled. So it's literally my favorite part of the movie, and it's my favorite quote, so it's easy to put in.
Okay, you didn't steal it.
Okay, good.
No, yeah. Very
good.
But yeah, the kiss the woman long and hard.
Yeah.
I love how it. The guy delivers it.
Kissed him long, woman. Kissed her good.
Okay, yeah.
It's mere matter of fact.
Yes.
Yeah. And he didn't kiss her, but yeah, okay, I got it. He just kind of grabbed her.
That's funny.
That part where he's on the ground and goes, yeah, he looks pretty crappy. And then they look at him and he does his little eyes with his smile. And the way they all step back.
Like, huh?
You know what I didn't understand in that part, though? Why did the other kids get thrown out, the rest of the baseball team? Squints did it and they threw all their clothes out.
Like, yeah.
What did Benny the Jet? Benny Jet didn't do anything. Squints didn't do any, or Smalls didn't do anything. Ham didn't do anything. They were just standing there. But I guess it's all by association at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and his little, and before he dives off the board.
Oh, yeah.
His little grin over.
Does his little, like he's in the deep end.
Yeah, it's so fun.
I like when, was it, I think it's Bertram. He's like, he looks like a dead fish. Yeah.
Well, when he's walking up there, and I think one of the kids in pool go, what the hell is he doing?
He wipes his glasses off.
Yeah. That's funny. Who goes next?
Been planning it for years.
Yeah.
Kurt goes next.
All right. I get to go next.
There you go.
So first, you take the graham. You stick the chocolate on the graham.
Yep.
Then you roast the mallow. When the mallow's flaming, you stick it on the chocolate and cover it with the other end.
That's
then you scarf. Kind of messy, but good.
But good.
Try some. So that, of course, was ham making s'mores.
Well, how can I have s'more when I haven't had any?
Yeah. That was going to be one of my other ones. Yeah. Hey, you want a s'more? S'more what? S'more what? I had read that they had to do that take over and over again because they were laughing so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I don't know if you can hear it when they're in the treehouse. You can hear a kid in the back going, who cut one? There's all kinds of little side things going on in the back. I think.
All right, Rob. Hopefully, no one stole it, so you're on the stage now.
Also at the pool.
Nice.
Squints.
Squints.
Where they're in the water. Well, it's all of them. But he goes, they're watching Wendy on the left, and Benny says, "Oh man, Yaya says it's too cruel." Timmy says, "She doesn't know what she's doing." Benny said, "Yeah, she does. She knows exactly what she's doing." Squint goes, "I've swam here every summer in my adult life, which I think is funny. Mm-hmm. And every summer, there she is, lotion, oiling, lotioning, smiling. I can't take it no more. Move." And he gets out of the way. And, and then all the way up there, he's saying, lotioning, lotion, oiling.
I love it.
Yeah.
The only other, I had a couple others. My biggest other spot, which really was close to this quote, is when they play the other baseball team.
Because the dialogue.
Ham's got so much good stuff in there. Mm-hmm. When it starts, he's like, hurry up, batter. It's going to be a short game, and I got to get home for lunch. And then he says,
hey, is that your sister in left field naked?
She's naked. He goes, shut up, Porter. Hey, I'm just trying to have a little friendly conversation. Come on. And there's like a pause. He goes, think she'll go out with me? He goes, that one kid, he puts his finger up. He goes, here it comes. The number comes one. And like before it even gets to, he goes, strike three, you're out.
The one my kids laughed at is when he goes, you know, if my dog was as ugly as you, I'd shave his butt and tell him to walk backwards.
I'll tell you right now, I think one of the all-time like great comebacks when he's having the dialogue with the kid and they're like, you bop for apples in the toilet and you like it. And he goes, you like play it. Ball like a girl. And then they say, tomorrow, our field, 12 o'clock. And then he goes, count on it, you pee-drinking crap face.
Yeah.
But the way he says play ball is good, too. He goes, play ball. He goes, hurry up, batter. Short game, and I get to go for lunch. By the way, why are none of the Sandlot kids on that Little League team? They would dominate.
Oh, yeah.
They completely dominate that Little League
team. Yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, every one of them could hit, and then Ham and Benny are just hitting tape measure shots left and right. So, I got, let's see. Oh, yeah, I like this one, too. Another Ham. Ham had some, obviously, good ones.
He had some really good ones.
He said, Benny, why'd you bring that kid? Because he makes nine of us. Yeah, so does my sister, but I didn't bring her along, you know, so. The L7 weenie's pretty good, too. Yeah. Kids is square, Benny. Yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls. We didn't even talk about that.
I know. It seems like the obvious, you know.
The very short squints forever.
We still say that. Like, that's one that, says if that word ever comes up, you go forever. When they come back to the park after seeing Wendy for the first time coming out of the store, where you guys been? Benny says, we've been here waiting. We've been waiting here forever already. Squints was pervin' a dish, is what he says. Squint says, shut up, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. Your tongue was hanging out of your head and you were swooning. Oh, Wendy Peppercorn, my darling lover girl. And then Squint goes, I said, shut up. I got a lot of things on my mind.
I think we're selling a couple characters short, too. I mean, there's lots of good from all of them, but the two twins are the brothers.
Yeah.
I love when he says something and the kid repeats it. And then at some point in the movie, he repeated something. He goes, shut up, Tommy.
That's his thing. He's repeat.
I know. It's repeat's funny. The Sultan of Swat? The Sultan of Swat? The Great Bambino.
Or the when Benny says, man, you think too much. I bet you get straight A's and shit. Scotty Smalls goes, no, I got a B1. It was an A-, but it should have been a B.
You know what I did? One thing about Bill I didn't understand. It kind of takes us back to the beginning of the movie, but he goes out to finally play catch with him. And he knows that Smalls has never played catch before. He knows he's got this crappy mitt. Bill's not stupid. And then he throws in curveballs.
Yeah.
Like, the kid's never played catch in his life. And he goes, I got to watch the curve, when he gives him a black eye. I'm like, what kind of jerk is throwing curveballs when he can't even throw yet?
Yeah.
And they're all the way across the yard. Look, I train children to catch. You got to start that a little shorter, and then you move back. You know what I mean? So
I don't know that Bill was.
I think
Bill had some.
But I don't think he's that bad. I think.
He just didn't know.
Yeah. He's the stepfather.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I don't know how he doesn't know quite how to be a dad.
Because even with the mom, she was like, you don't have 10 minutes. And finally he caves and he's like, all right, let's go play.
Yeah. Better do it.
He had to get the mom involved.
That's right.
Smalls, goes to hop the fence. They said, what'd you do that for? And he said, you were all leaving, so I thought I'd hop the. And Squint goes, if you'd been thinking, you wouldn't have thought that. That's good. That's good. Really clever.
Another good one from Squints is when he tells the story in the treehouse about the beast.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Take a look out that window.
Some of his stuff, like when they're trying to retrieve the ball, and he goes, farther.
Farther. Farther.
Close catapult. Close catapult.
I like that kid's all covered in dust, one of the twins.
Oh, yeah. I have that written down.
He goes, we've been going about this all wrong.
I blame myself.
I blame myself.
It's one of his very few lines in the entire movie.
So, all right. Well, category two, easy category. And we'll start with Rob since he threw such a fit on category one.
Plus, he does so well with the favorite main characters.
Favorite main character.
I did good this time.
All right.
I think I went too obvious.
Okay.
Uh-oh. I went with Hambleton Ham Porter.
The double ham.
The double ham.
Yeah, I just think he's, you know, he's kind of become the face of this movie. He's the pop culture. You know, he's on t-shirts. You know, you got the You're Killing Me Smalls is everywhere. He roast the other team, which I really like.
Yeah, so, his lines is what did it for me.
Yeah, and I just put, no one delivers insults like him. He does. Just does such a good
job. He's so good. He's,
I just said he verbally takes out the kids from the other team. Yeah.
I just, that part, because when you played baseball, to have that like arrogance, he's like, he's going to throw the number one. Here it comes. Strike three, you're up.
Well, even when he hits that home run at one of their first pickup games, you know, and they're all throwing low and outside just like he
it. He goes, I've told you, don't throw it there.
By the way, that pitch, not low and outside.
That was right down the middle of the plate.
Ham, I just think he's funny. And,
So, well, my favorite was Squints.
Yeah.
Because I kind of look like Squints.
He was a close two.
And I can relate to Squints. I didn't have the guts Squints has to go after the lifeguard, but... a lot of his other stuff, his mannerisms, all those things like that. He does that L7 weenie.
Yeah.
And then I love when
Oscar Meyer.
He finally throws one ball to the infield and he goes, I guess he's all right.
Yeah. So I'm like,
okay. All right, let's go.
Let's play some ball, right? But Squints is, I don't know. I just, the way he tells his stories, the throwback to the forever, you know, I just, that kid. He's got a lot. When he gets to be older and he's in high school, he's going to have a lot of swag.
That's why he ended up with Wendy.
If we talk about when he gets the Wendy. Yeah. But how old do you think Wendy is? 16, 15?
Yeah.
And 15, he's like 16. 12 or 13. So, he climbed a bit of a hill to get back to that, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking all the dudes in town, Wendy Peppercorn seems like the one, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I got to ask too. He seems like the star athlete. How is Benny not in this conversation at all?
Right. He never.
He's taller than all the other kids.
He was too into, it was everything.
Too into baseball.
Yeah. He was out.
No,
he
didn't
have time for girls.
I gotcha.
He didn't have time for girls.
I bet by the time he got to the majors, he had time for the ladies.
He pulled.
One for the ladies.
He pulled.
It'd be just Benny and the PF Flyers.
That's right.
Check out the jet.
Check out my jet.
Check out the jet.
It's my jumbo jet.
Rob, come on. Perfect time for a timeout.
When the jet is rocking, don't come a knocking.
Oh, no.
Timeout.
You hear the timeout. You got to end. No more of that. You can't, no more jumbo
behave.
Jet.
Behave.
That's right. You have
to behave.
Who beehive. All right. Category three. This is usually one he likes to muck up a little bit. We'll start with Kurt. Favorite supporting character.
All right.
We'll see what your definition of this is, Rob.
All right. I went with Hercules the dog. Ooh,
very good.
Yeah, you couldn't have a movie without Hercules. Dog. Rob always likes to do that when he does his characters. Well, you couldn't have the movie without this movie. So I thought I'd steal it first.
That's right.
And I went with Hercules because if Hercules wasn't there, there'd be no problem. Go get the ball, come back, and keep playing.
I actually did a Rob move here a little bit. I went with Smalls' mom. Because if Smalls' mom doesn't get him outside.
David does love moms.
That's right. I do. Zach Wilson and I are in a text group. It's a mom. It's a smashing mom's text group. Me and Zach Wilson when he's not playing for the Jets. So
he doesn't really play anyways.
Wow.
But Smalls' mom, she gets Bill to play catch with him. She's kind of always looking out for him. She knows he's kind of an inside kid, and so she gets him outside. Now he's playing baseball. And then, because he's like, I'm going outside, Mom. She's like, have fun. She wanted him out there. She got him out there. She moved him to that area with Bill, all that stuff. So I thought Rob would appreciate that. So Smalls' mom. Look at you two.
There you go. We both pulled a Rob.
Wow.
That means he did the complete opposite.
He did the complete opposite. Mm-mm. Supporting character is going to be like, what, the drugstore owner? Because he sold him the baseball.
No, it's going to be the
it's
the
even
little,
better.
The little kid on the Tigers.
It's even better.
All right, let's go.
It's Elswanger.
Okay.
He's the one that moved away. That left.
Not even in the movie.
He out-robbed us. God damn it.
That's it.
Oh, David's put the headphones down.
He's not even in the movie.
Oh, my God.
This is twice. Once with Barbara Hummel, and now this garbage.
No. Look at my notes.
Let him go. Let him explain.
Look at my notes. He's the one that moved away, creating the vacancy that let Smalls,
Oh, my gosh.
But no, really, I put that down here. And then up here, it's Mr. Myrtle.
Okay.
He's my, Mr. Myrtle. In reality, he's my favorite supporting character.
There you go.
I knew that you guys would...
would what?
Make fun of me.
Yeah.
So Mr. Myrtle.
He's Mr. Myrtle.
It's a cool character, and it's James Earl Jones.
Why do you like him, Rob?
Well, it's the friendly old baseball player, and he welcomes him in, and
What's your research? What years did he play baseball before the lights went out?
Oh, I didn't read that.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, sorry. He was former Negro Leagues, took a fastball to the side of the head.
played with George.
Played with George Herman Ruth.
George?
He befriends Small at the end. You know, James Earl Jones. By the way,
we did quotes. Quote we didn't get. It's a pretty good quote. James Earl Jones says when he goes, "You lost the ball from George?" He goes, yeah. "Never mind. You're not in trouble. You're dead where you stand."
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah. So.
Well, and this whole thing about that's how I played 100% all the time. You know, and I just think, you know, he, cool character. I want to know more about him.
A cool cat.
Yeah. But you also got to give it up to Elswinger.
Give it up for Elswinger for moving away.
That is.
Opening up that slot for.
That is something. If he did enough research, he'd find out what family lived in that house Smalls moved into. It was the Wilbur family. And they
moved away. My favorite thing is you're like, Robbed us.
That's
right. Can't believe it.
We
should have dug deeper.
We thought we were clever on this one. And he does what Rob likes to call an end around.
That's right.
Oh, damn it. I thought I had it because there couldn't be a movie without the dog.
Nope, you never have it.
Couldn't be a movie unless the kid moved away first.
Absolutely.
Boom.
Boom.
Son of a biscuit.
He just dropped it and he's walking out. See ya. Okay. Well, category four.
Yeah.
Favorite scene and event. I will start. I'm going to go with the pool scene.
Nah.
So I love the pool scene. It's my favorite part of the movie. This is what I wrote. Wendy's hot. Squints is a baller in that situation, and he's got all the riz, Rob.
All the riz. You keep using this word.
I've explained this to you before. Kurt, explain the riz to him.
No.
Oh, no?
No. I think he just needs to. He likes research.
Let's let him live in the woods.
He likes riz. Research.
Ask your children. See if they'll explain it to you. Right. I give you a dollar. Walk up to your daughter, your oldest daughter, and just say, what does riz mean?
How might I use it in a sentence?
You could say... the reason your mom married me is because I have a lot of riz.
I have a lot of riz.
Yes.
Wait, not to put any clues to in the sentence.
totally leaves you open to try and figure it out. Yeah,
there were a lot of things that
just,
I could have
I'm telling you, just ask her. After she laughs, she'll explain it to you.
All right.
Okay. So, yeah, the pool scene, it's great. The chattering teeth, the story, the annoyance of the oiling and lotioning. Mm-hmm. And really, that's all the squint stuff. Where I'm not selling the part that when Ham first goes to the...
Oh, yeah.
He walks by all the ladies. He goes, hey.
I remember you.
And he flexes. He goes, ooh. And then right before he does the cannonball, he does that, blows that little kiss to him. He goes,
And does he say
Hammond ball.
Hammond ball. And then he jumps in, gets them all wet.
Yeah.
But his confidence... Wet. His confidence is off the charts. Yeah. I love it. Between him and Squints, by the time they get to high school, the ladies are just lining up.
Yeah. Ham would be a fun guy to hang out with.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I also had the pool scene.
Beautiful.
So I just said he was the hero to every young pubescent boy.
Good one.
Just because
they all wanted to be him. Crappy. Looks like a dead fish. That smile he does when she's in between breasts. And the best is the kids because they like pull back like what's going on here
like what is he doing what he's doing.
Well done.
Actually, tip my hat to you, sir.
Another part we gloss over that's subtle but it's really funny is he's kind of crying at the fence looking at her and she does this little wave goodbye and this joyous smile comes over her face and he does this and then they run off
the big wave
but he's half crying at that fence until she waves at him and she goes like this. The little,
and then he said, worth thing. It.
So,
totally worth it.
Been planning it for years.
I went with the 4th of July scene.
Yeah.
I really like that. Just the everybody out and the song was playing and
the neighborhood barbecue.
Did it bring a tear?
Well, I don't know about a tear.
One.
You know, one single tear. Solitary
tear. Did you have overly hydrated eyes?
No.
Sometimes he does.
Sometimes.
It's okay. Yeah. I love that scene too. That would be, that'd probably be my number two.
Yeah. Just, it reminds me of, you know, simpler times and growing up and, you know, and as I get older and, you know,
Rob gets older. He wants to be simpler.
Yeah, I do.
He wants the damn kids to put the phone down.
That's right. Damn kids.
You're dead where you stand.
Yeah. So 4th of July. I like that scene.
Perfect.
Well filmed.
And good use of the Ray Charles song.
Yep. Love it.
Awesome. The fireworks going off.
And the fact that they did a really nice job of, the reason that was their one night game a year because they could play under the lights and it was like their professional ball players playing under the lights.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought that was cool.
So, and we glossed over it a little, but the carnival scene's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get all the dip in their mouth. Big Chief, the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, and then that's the first time where Ham says, laughs and says, hey, you probably don't even know who Babe Ruth is or something like that. And he's like,
he plays it off. Yeah. I just love another subtle thing there. When they're getting sick, Squints's face that he makes, he's half smiling and then he goes, like you can see it coming. Yeah. It's just gross. But then Ham gets off and he goes, ugh, I feel better.
Yeah, he does a big old burp. Yeah,
I feel better. It sounded gross and they're covered in it. It's just, you'd never got all that out. Just throw the clothes away. Yeah. So, all right, category 5, best nickname. Rob, go ahead, lead us off.
The Great Hambino.
Beautiful. That's a good one.
Yep. I love that. That's what he becomes later in life. Yeah. He becomes a wrestler and he fights under the name perfect. The Great Hambino.
Great Hambino.
Yep.
What do you got, Kurt?
I pulled another Rob on this one.
Oh my goodness.
I did not go with one of the children.
Ooh.
I just went with the Sultan of SWAT, the King of Crash, the Colossus of Clout.
All the nicknames. Bambino.
Mm. The big. Because I love the little scene where Repeat's just doing it, repeating it every time they go
Colossus
through it.
Of Clout? Colossus of Clout?
The King of Crash?
Bambino? Babe Ruth! Oh, hell! Because at that point, Scotty didn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty knew. Scotty down.
Scotty doesn't know. So my best nickname, I like Yeah Yeah. I just think it's funny how he ends everything with that. It's one of the funniest. It's not that great, but it's just funny to me when he goes, Yeah Yeah, he looks pretty crappy. So I don't know what it is. Or just when he throws the Yeah Yeah in and that kid talks real fast and... Mm. I don't know.
It's his nervous
is it Yeah Yeah that to go back in the movie when it's hot and he says, who wants to be a panty wasted wearing your mom's bra? And they all raise their hand like, yeah. Well, he goes, what are we going to do? And the kid goes, he has that weird laugh and he goes, pool honeys. Honeys. Yep. Yeah. Is that Yeah Yeah that says that? Or is it one of the brother, Timmy or Tommy?
It was one of them. I might have been.
I think it was one of the brothers.
Benny's the one, like, who wants to be a weak panty?
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Because he goes, it's 105 out here, Benny. We can't play baseball today. So they're like, pool honeys. And you're like, yeah. So I like Yeah Yeah. Yeah Yeah was funny. So Bertram's kind of a crazy, which they never heard from him again. So that makes sense.
Well, he got really into the 60s.
Yeah.
And when he got to high school, I do like Squints. Is he named Squints. After his, is that because of his great-grandpa?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Squidman. Squidman Palidorus.
There you go.
No.
That's a name, Rob.
That was the guy that locked up.
Yeah,
locked Hercules.
Up the beast.
Hercules.
Oh, that's right. Forever.
His name was Squidman.
I like Squidman. Squidman is a thing. So if it's not, it should be. You should start naming things Squidman. More people out there in podcast land.
Less Squidwards, more Squidmans.
Yes, I think Squidman should catch on, right? Mm. Like, who knew during like the Depression or right after in the 40s, there were a lot of Squidmans running around. It's like one of those names like that no one uses anymore, like Herbert or something like that, or Esther.
Nimrod,
that was a name, right? So, all right. Well, category 6, best plan to get the baseball back from the beast. There we go.
Who gets to go first?
I don't care, Rob.
Well, you're the I'm gonna go with the catapult rover. Yeah. That was attempt number 5, by the way.
Nice.
I felt
the vacuum.
Yeah. No, not the vacuum. And I just like how he goes, close catapult.
Yep. Fire! And then he runs away.
What do you got, Kurt?
They almost had it.
It was right there.
Yep.
Well, you just said mine, the vacuums.
Oh, nice.
I went with vacuums. I like the 3 vacuums connected, but they only do one at a time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're acting like it's a giant kickback every time they turn one on. And instead of just simply, when things are going wrong, instead of just turning them off, they jump out of the treehouse, go crazy, and wait for them to explode.
Well, my favorite two lines in that scene are when Squints, he goes, the tubes are pinched shut.
You know, why does he have to whisper?
I don't know. And then
they don't want to wake up the beast.
They've all kind of exited the treehouse, and he goes, what the hell is that noise?
But the vacuums is when the kid says... We've been going about this all wrong.
Yeah.
And I blame myself because he's covered in the bag.
Yeah, he does stuff. The slow walk down the stairs because he didn't jump out of the treehouse. Yeah. He's just covered in dust.
Says, we need total surprise. Airborne attack. The beast will never expect it.
Yeah.
And then he just walks off.
Well, that kind of goes to what I picked. So I like when they put Yeah Yeah in a harness
and
lower him down into the yard. What I love about that is they're explaining this plan in the treehouse. Someone's got to get lowered down. And they were able to talk.
I know.
He's not the smallest kid. It seems like Squints would have been the best option because he weighs the least amount or whatever. But
he was lookout. Yeah, he's always lookout.
Yeah, he's always lookout.
Ham couldn't. Just couldn't do the thing.
So, but lowering in there. And he's yelling. And
well, the funny part is when they pull him up and he's going. I know. Well, why?
It was just random. He's like, I went crazy for a second. I did the lift thing.
That's all he does. All right. Category 7, least believable event. Oh. Least believable.
Yep.
So, Kurt, you can go first on this one.
Ooh, I get to go first. All right. Least believable event. Very end. Talking about Hercules. Said he lived to be 199 in dog years. That's 28 and a half years if you do the 7 years for the I've learned that that's not actually right.
No.
Okay. But if you're just using that. The average mastiff, because he's a mastiff, average lifespan is 6 to 12 years.
Yeah.
The oldest living mastiff ever known was only 15 years old.
Wow.
So we're saying he lived an extra 13 years. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, our say no. Boxer mastiff, he was 14 when he died.
Oh, but, that's pretty good. But he's a mix, too. He's not a straight mastiff.
Yeah, he wasn't.
So while mine was... when Benny hits the ball exactly in the Smalls' glove for the first time.
Oh, right.
That was my number two.
Just put it up and Smalls put his head down like he's not looking.
Please catch it. Please catch it. Please catch it.
And he hits it from, look, I've hit pop flies into an outfield before. I don't care who you think you are. You're not that accurate. And then as soon as he catches it for the first time, now he can throw.
Yes.
Now he can do it.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing his crow hop right. I mean, everything all of a sudden, once – Benny hit the magic ball into his glove. It's like, I can play baseball.
Yeah. That's because he stopped thinking.
And had fun.
Listen, I don't care how much he doesn't stop thinking. His form for throwing did not generate that quick to where he threw it all the way from left field and hit the cutoff man in the infield. Yeah. And that's when Squints goes, he's all right. Yeah,
it'll work.
So
that I do love his form when he was trying to throw that at the beginning of the game.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrong foot forward.
Or when he runs all the way in the infield, he goes, here you go. And then the look on one of their faces, the look was like, what is going on here?
So was it Ham that goes, no way.
He's so upset about it. Because Benny's like, that makes 9. He goes, I can practice more now because I have all the positions. And so, it's funny. It's funny. So that was mine. That mine is, there's no way he's hitting that ball right into the glove. He's not looking. He's not doing anything.
No, I agree.
So,
well, mine going to be controversial.
Oh, no.
Shocking.
Squints marrying Wendy Peppercorn and having 9 kids.
Again, nothing that happens in the movie, Kurt, nothing that happens in the movie, that's his least believable event.
It wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen that he'd marry someone that's like 3 years older than him.
Okay. Look, here's the
Squints is not getting Wendy Peppercorn.
Here's what I
get. You're just jealous.
Look, here's what happened.
Maybe. I don't care. Peppercorn.
You got your own Wendy.
Here's what
happened. Happy with that.
Wendy Peppercorn was 3-4 years ahead of him. She graduates high school.
I want to hear you unpack this.
Yeah. She was prom queen. She was all this. She had a boyfriend at that time. Squints is probably a freshman at this time, so he's still kind of salivating over her. But boyfriend takes off to college, ends up finding another girl, and she just kind of gets stuck working at the pool for a couple years.
Oh, so she settled.
So Squints was there. And now Squints, after high school, bought
his family owned the pharmacy, and he gets to run it.
So he inherited it. He's inheriting his own business. She's got the dollar signs clinging. And look, she's not the spring chicken she used to be. So guess what?
He's passing illegal pills under the table.
We just learned that Wendy Peppercorn is a gold digger.
That's right. See, I don't buy it.
Classic story of I was the prom queen, and then I just kind of got stuck in the town. And guess what? Now Squints is cool.
She's going to spike his milk with
plus, I don't care what you say. I don't care how angry she looked. She was 30% impressed that he had the guts to do that.
Yeah, 30%.
That goes back to the Riz, Rob.
Well, whatever.
It does.
I don't buy it.
You can whatever it all you want. That's what it is. You don't buy it.
Nope, I don't buy it.
I don't think that's that unreasonable. Man. Like, people get married every day, right?
I did marry an older woman.
Boom.
Wow.
Just like that. This is what happens.
It's only 8 months, but she's older.
Madonna is currently dating like a 25-year-old guy.
Okay. But,
so.
Okay.
These are reasonable things in the
world,
Rob. She's
a hot mess, though.
I didn't say that. She wasn't. I'm just saying she's dating someone younger than her.
Wendy Peppercorn isn't going to.
He's a cougar.
Isn't going for Squints.
I just think she ran out of options and Squints was what was left.
We don't know how Squints matured.
Squints could have blown up. By the time he's a sophomore, he's a little more beefed up. Maybe he's playing football now. I mean, the growth spurt. These things happen.
Okay.
He's a baseball player. Maybe he's like a good baseball player.
Maybe.
In high school, right?
No. He's running a pharmacy.
After school. He's a pharmacist. School. That's a good job, pharmacist. So I think you're selling it a little short here, Rob.
Okay.
And give Squints some credit. That's a good catch. He did a good job.
I worry for Squints.
I don't.
I think she's going to
spike
his milk with arsenic. Nope.
His life's going to be great. He got her. And he's always...
She apparently doesn't worry too much. They had 9 children.
9 children.
If she was wanting to kill him or do something...
Nine times.
At least.
So...
Nine times.
You think he had in the middle, he's wiping the glasses off because they steam up?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No. With 9 kids, he probably had to get those sport goggles that with the anti-fog.
I like that. That's even better.
With the headband.
Hold on. Let me throw these on. Orlando Woolridge style. Boom. Let's go.
Wow. He just pulled out an Orlando Woolridge reference. Nobody does that. Nobody
he did.
Oiling. Lotioning.
Oiling. I bet later that was like a thing they did. Here. Yeah. She just kind of puts it on.
We're going to play lifeguard today, honey.
Play lifeguard. Here's the whistle. I don't have to keep my tongue in my mouth anymore.
They recreate that. Let's recreate that day in 1962.
Recreate it. Yeah. Pretend you're giving me CPR. So, all right. Well, category 8. Could you make this movie today? Mm. And if you did make it today, what kind of recast would it look like?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I was thinking with this, you could probably make it. Would it have the same impact and like everything? I don't think it would, just because kids these days don't have that type of childhood.
Yeah,
to look back on.
Well, but I looked at it from this way. So this came out in 93, and the time frame was 62. So if you took today, what time frame are we looking at? That's 31 years. So you're looking at 19 to 2023. So you have to go back 31 years. So you're looking at what, 1994?
Okay.
Or 1992. So 1992. In 92, kids did play a little baseball and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I still think it was a little different. I don't think kids were playing a lot in sandlots anymore in 92. Mm-hmm. Some of the scenes with the pool and that might work, but I think the vibe is different. The classic Americana feel of the 60s and stuff like that was not the same in the 90s. So... Mm-hmm. I would say, I'm with you. You could remake it. I don't think it's going to have the same feeling. Like, it's timeless as it is, no matter what era it's in. But if you put it in the 90s, it's just going to look different. The jeans are going to look different. The clothes. I don't know. It just has like a classic Wonder Years type feel.
You still have the PF Flyers. Maybe. They brought them back in 2001.
They did. So.
Yeah, I don't know. My initial reaction to this is I'm going to be the naysayer and say, I don't think you can.
Oh, I figure you would be like, well, if you did this and this, it might be okay.
Because I think what you would end up getting, if you're trying to remake a movie, you would end up with, for our generation, you'd end up with Clueless, the more the mall scene and that social scene. I mean, that's what you're going to end up with. Cause I think the sports people don't congregate around sports the way they did.
Well, in 1962, baseball is the American pastime. Mm-hmm. By 1992, I don't think it's the American pastime. Then it's
Varsity Blues.
Almost. Because even sports really has changed in that, like when we went to school, there was, I mean, I started playing in middle school.
Yeah.
Made the high school team, whatever. Now, if you're not playing from the time you're 4.
Yeah.
You're not making the team. And so, the idea of these kids out playing around and they're going to make the team. And no, they're not, because you're not on the AAU team and the travel ball team. And you're not.
He hates everything with these kids. Squints can't get married to her.
No.
They're not going to play on the high school team. No. Just nothing, right?
Nothing.
No. Jeez.
And you might be right. I might have a little jealousy. I was never the prototypical jock athlete. I played,
but I wasn't
getting all the, I wasn't getting Wendy Pfeffercorn.
You just had to try a little harder. Need to come up with a genius plan
to
make out with her.
There you go. That requires some That requires some genius brains.
He's good at research, but not coming up with the initial
plan. Once I open my mouth, they're like, oh, right. Next.
Old Borophil over here can't figure out how to make out with me.
That's true. That's true. Why are the lights off? It's awfully dark in here.
In here.
Nobody can see what they're doing.
That's right.
We're going to get hurt.
I can't find the remote control. How am I turning the radio up or the TV? What are we doing?
Preposterous.
Apparently, when you were in high school, you became an English gentleman. Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened.
No, that's a true statement.
So, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Like he that talks really normal, and then as soon as he gets at home with the lady, he's like, "Welcome to my abode. Yes.
Let me put on my smoking jacket. We shall go to the parlor."
I don't know where this went. So
I don't know. Sorry.
That does, I think, cover almost everything you could want to cover for The Sandlot. Mm-hmm. I will say this: there's no way Bill's mad that he lost a Babe Ruth ball, but gained a 27 Yankees ball that also has Babe Ruth's signature on it. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I think that's true.
So he's like, oh, he was pretty sore. No, he's not. Like, Gehrig's on this too? Oh, okay. Boom. Yeah.
And Mickey Mantle? Okay, that's good. Yeah.
His week grounding, because he said he got grounded for a week.
Yeah. That's pretty generous.
And I'm thinking that was probably, he didn't serve the whole week.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're just confined to the house.
Well,
like,
and he's out there playing catch with Bill later.
Yeah. You're not picking up dog crap or whatever. I mean, life was not hard.
For Smalls?
Yeah. Because he got the murderer's robot.
He
so
did.
Bill's like, I got to do something. So.
Yeah. Do you think he told Bill about James Earl Jones?
I wonder that. Like, did they connect? They had to have connected.
I mean, with the love of baseball, you'd think he'd be like, go over there and I got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. And he lived really humbly. He did. And he's got all this stuff that's worth probably
thousands at the time. Does he own the junkyard now?
I don't know. Or did he ever own the junkyard?
Did he own the junkyard previously?
I do not.
Because that was his dog.
Was that part of the story, though?
I think that was just a whole story.
Yeah. He just made it up.
That was the legend.
Squidmore made it up.
Mm-hmm. Squid.
Squidman.
Squidman. Squidman. I said Squidmore. What am I talking
about? He wants more squid.
More squid.
It's Squidman. So,
Squidmore. All right. Well, you guys got anything else?
I do not.
You do not. Are you sure, Rob? Going once?
Twice?
We won't give him twice because we'll get another chapter. Well, if you enjoy this podcast, please take a second to give it 5 stars. Kurt likes to give the five is alive. And drop us a review. Also, check out our website at totally80s90s recall.podbean.com, where you can find links to all our social media sites, as well as subscribing to our Facebook group for weekly updates. If you want to get in touch with us, email the show, 80s90s recall@gmail.com. That's a weird accent, right? Rob's accent's throwing me off today, which allows you to recommend future show ideas, comment on previous topics, and ask us questions, which will feature on future mailbag episodes. I can't read this today. Finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You guys are laughing in the background. If you'd like to see Rob and I, you know the rest. Our merch, everything is on the show notes. Log in, take a look, have a good time. Rob, you got any closing thoughts?
No, I don't. I love the movie. It's a good movie.
Love it.
It's good, great. Feel good movie.
Can watch it forever.
I could watch it. There's very few movies that, quite honestly, I'm not a movie buff like our hound over here. I watch a movie once and that's about it.
Still can't figure it out. He even said it himself. All right. Well, I think you do a good job for the hound over here. We always have to goad him into it.
Thank you.
So, do you have any closing thoughts, Kurt? Oh, stop it, first of all. That was a long time ago, and everyone's forgotten about it, and you had to bring it back.
She's got to bring back.
Whatever.
No, just like Rob said, this movie is one that no matter when it's on, you can stop, watch it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. The ninth inning has ended, so that brings us to the end of this episode. We hope we hit a home run for you today by taking a look back 30 years at the 1993 classic, The Sandlot. We'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob, Kurt, and I. Hopefully, we gave you an hour or so of some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday.
That's a really nice radio voice. Yeah.
So.
Finish strong.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I do conversational. Sometimes, Rob, I bring out the big guns. So.
Such an idiot. Well, what are we working on next time?
You want your homework? Is that what you're asking for?
I want my homework because I need to go I need something. I need some lead time. I'm not like you.
Well, Rob, we're heading to the country.
Oh, I knew you were gonna.
And we're going to do our favorite 90s country volume number one.
Number one.
Yeah. I do declare.
Mr. Beauregard.
he said that before, too. It's like as soon as someone says I do declare, the Beauregard part comes directly behind it. So, well, you got anything else, Rob?
I've got nothing
else. All right. Fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbyes.
All right.
All right. Peace out.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Oh,
everybody.
So, happy with those kissy noises.
Did that constitute a fancy goodbye? I think might have. Well, we might have violated our fancy goodbye. Oh, I said bye, everybody.